Madhava Kunjabi Raji Jaya Radha Bhuva Kunjabi Raji Bijan Bhava Ibarnasi Bijan Bhava Ibarnasi Yasurananjana Vrajajana Ranjana Yasurananjana Vrajajana Ranjana Murachiravanachyamati Yamuna Sera Manajari Jaiura Madhava Kundabihari Jaiura Madhava Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatacharya also Kedha Satashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chanana Navati Vananda Kosami Srila Prabhupada Vijay. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Vijay. Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Gajay. Nama Acharya Srila Huidas Thakur Gajay. Rem Se Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Rabo Nichananda Srila Gada Khan Srila Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajay. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopa Gopa Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Maturam Kijai Navadeepkam Kijai Jagannathaswami Kijai Yamunamaya Kijai Shrimadvasudeva Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go, Prabhupada. All right. Hey, Hare Krishna. Are the children coming this morning? Or? Oh, there they are. There's Riley. Hey, remember me? Hare Krishna. I like your haircut.
I didn't know I've got a haircut.
I know. Okay, find the verse. Okay. So we're going to read from the 7th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th chapter, text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, this is a famous verse that applies to all the children here. Oh. And this verse is part of Prahlad Maharaj instructing his demoniac schoolmates. Okay. So I'll just read, since you don't have the verse in front of you. What's that? Oh, you have it? Okay. So it's six chapter, seventh canto, text one. So anyway, we'll read it first. Shri Prarada Uvacha Komara Acharet Pragyo Brahman Bhagavatam Iha Durlabham Manusham Janma Tat Api Adruvam Artadam Shri Parado Vacha Komara Acharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatam Viha Dulabam Manushan Janma Tad Up Yudruvam Artadam Shivarada Vacha Kumara Charet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatam Niha Lang Manasham Janma Tat Up Yadruvam Artadam Shri Parada Vacha Omara Chalet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatam Niha Urlabham Manusham Janma Tad Up Yadruvam Artadam. Okay, anyone want to try?
Shri Prahlada Vacha
Shri Prahlada Vacha
Goma Achad Prajna
Goma Achad Prajna
Dharma Bhagavata Iha
Dharma Bhagavata Iha
Dulabham Manasam Janman
Dulabham Manasam Janman
Tadapi Adruva Arthadam
Tadapi Adruva Arthadam
Shri Prahlada Vacha
Shri Prahlada Vacha
Goma Acharat Prajna
Goma Acharat Prajna
Dharman Bhagavata Niha
Dharman Bhagavata Niha
Dulabham Manushyam Janma
Dulabham Manushyam Janma
Tadapya Adhuram
Tadapi Adhruvam Artadam
Shri
Prahlada Vacha
Omara Achare Pragno
Omara Achare
Dharman Bhagavata Niha
Dharman Bhagavata Niha
Dulabham Manushyam Janma
Dulabham Manushyam Janma
Tadapi Adhruvam Artadam
Tadapi Adhruvam Artadam Okay. Shri Parada Vacha.
Shri Parada Vacha.
Prahlad Maharaj said.
Prahlad Maharaj said.
Komara.
Komara.
In the tender age of childhood.
In the tender age of childhood.
Acharet.
Acharet.
Should practice.
Should practice.
Pragyaha.
Pragyaha.
One who is intelligent.
One who is intelligent.
That's good. That's good. He's repeating. Dharman.
Dharman.
Occupational duties.
Occupational duties.
Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam.
Which are devotional service. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Iha.
In this life. Durlabham.
Very rarely obtained.
Manusham. Human.
Janma.
Birth.
Tat.
That.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Adhruvam.
Impermanent.
Temporary.
Temporary.
Artadam.
Full of meaning.
So, Prahlad Maharaj said one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life, one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
jai.
The whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced so that one, from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, text 40, Svapamapyasyatarnamasyatrayate mahato boyat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children, even in the womb, on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually, throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species among the 8,400,000 forms of life. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. As stated already by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavata Dharma consists of Shavanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasham, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. In all the schools, colleges, and universities, and at home, all children and youth should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and put them into practice in their lives, and thus to become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Following Bhagavad Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. The Shastra says, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ekepi Kevalam. Kalo nascheva, 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 gatur onyata. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be completely cleansed. Wow. From the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. Pretty good. So, Sri Parada Vasa Kumara Chavat Padyo Dharmam Bhagavatam Yadurubam Manasam Tama Tad Up Yadurubam Artidam. So, Omagana Timananda Shaganam Janas Lapaya Chapsur and Yukam Gina Tesmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I'd like to welcome everybody who's joining us this morning, Sudharma Acharya, Adi Dave, James Lipscomb, Ravi, Madhupriti, and Norma. This is a very important verse. And this verse was spoken by Pulad Maharaj after his teachers left the classroom. You know that. You got to be careful when your teachers are in the classroom. I wasn't exactly like Pulad Maharaj. When my teachers left the classroom, I did nonsense. I would write funny pictures of the teacher on the blackboard. I would throw spitballs at the girls. I would do all sorts of crazy things. So I was not like Pulad Maharaj. I got to make that very clear. I did not descend in a flower airplane. I ascended. Anyway, so he waited till the teachers left the room, because his teachers, Sanda and Amarka, were actually sons of Shukracharya, and they were actually teaching Devaniak things. They were teaching what's called Niti Shastra, how to take care of enemies. In other words, sweet words, bribery. There's different methods of taking care of enemies. Sweet words, you know, you're so nice, my dear enemy, I like you. Bribery, you know, here's a donation. So, after that is a high position, then Baeda, divide and conquer. You just tell each enemy how each one hates each other, and they fight each other and just go, Hare Krishna, I didn't do anything. And then after that, the threat, and after that, the stick. So anyway, so Pulad Maharaj is responding to that, and he's preaching to his students, his fellow students, and teaching them a very important lesson, because most of us, we have excuses why we can't be Krishna conscious. Keshav, what's your excuse? You have to go to school, you have to play soccer.
Oh,
you quit soccer?
Yeah, I couldn't talk.
I'm happy to hear that.
but I'm playing soccer.
Playing what?
Soccer from school.
Oh, okay. Hare Krishna.
And a bit of tennis.
His students have so many excuses. His fellow students have so many excuses. They said, you know, we're just kids. Later on they'll say, we're just kids, Pulad Maharaj. And Pulad Maharaj goes through all these different excuses. He says, now you have this excuse that you're just kids. Later on you'll have excuse that you're teenagers. Later on you'll have excuse that you're getting married. Later on you'll have an excuse that you have children. Later on you'll have an excuse. I'm adding some stuff to it. Later on you'll have an excuse you have grandchildren. Later on you'll have an excuse you're disabled. And later on you'll have an excuse you're dead. That's a good excuse. So, and he said in addition, he said you have an excuse that 50% of your life you have to sleep anyway. So in this way, more than 100% of your life is going to be wasted. You understand? So the problem with that, the durlabha manasa janma, is that we've achieved a very rare gift. And that gift is what? Manasa janma, you know what that means? Human form. And the human form is not simply meant for economic development, sense gratification, etc. like that. Human form is meant for self-realization. And so Pulad Maharaj is mercifully instructing his fellow students in that particular way. And eventually, he achieves success, and they start chanting Hare Krishna, and the student and the teacher walks in, and the teacher drags him to his father, and then there's that whole interaction with the father. So this is how we should generally be preaching to people, that you've got something that's very unusual, which is the ability to discriminate. Well, you know, what's the difference between the human beings and the animals? The human beings have the ability to discriminate between right and wrong, have a higher purpose in life. You don't ask the animals, what is your purpose in life? Just like we've been speaking recently, the last few months, about the whys. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? Isn't it? Most people they don't think about why they're doing what they're doing. They think of what they're doing and momentary enjoyment. That's from the mind, accepting, rejecting things based on sense gratification. But they don't think long term. You know, what is the purpose of my doing this? And even devotees who are supposed to be taking up self-realization, they get into what we call ritualistic consciousness. We were talking about this last night with people. That they forget why they're doing their spiritual activities. In other words, they're chanting their rounds, they're offering obeisances, they're even, you know, like you do here, like bathing the guru's feet or whatever you're doing, or doing an arti. But it just becomes a ritual. A ritual means what? You know what a ritual is?
One thing that you do, like, on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. Or on a yearly basis. You know, there's yearly basis rituals, too.
Oh, you do it on
just like, you have Janmashtami, you have the Shraddh ceremony, you have all these ceremonies that are done on a regular basis. That's what a ritual means. Ritual is not necessarily bad. But if something is just a ritual, that's bad. I'll explain what I mean. Rituals... when they're connecting, when you're connecting with the purpose of the ritual, that's good. Let's say if I'm doing the ritual of arti, which is a ritual, because you're doing the repetitive thing. You know, it's the same thing, the incense, what else? The flame, and then the conch with the water, and then the handkerchief, and the flower, and the chamara, and the peacock feather, and then boom, again. And so... what happens after some time is that one turns their mind off when they're doing those things. So, you know, like you're planning, like when you're doing arti, and you're planning what you're going to do the rest of the day when you're doing arti. Or you're saying, for those who have Gayatri Mantra, you're saying your Gayatri Mantra, and you're thinking about, you know, what you're going to be doing the rest of the day, what's going to be for breakfast, how someone yelled at you the other day and you're going to get even with them. Or, you know, how you have this debt to pay, or so many things you can think of. So, that's the problem with rituals. Rituals are not bad, but the problem, the challenge with rituals is when you do the same thing over and over again, isn't it? Or sometimes people are driving a car, because you don't drive the car. But, so, you know, I've had this experience. You drive in a car, and somehow or other, you get to your destination. Isn't it? You ever had that experience? When you drive all the time, then you, then somehow or other, you say, how did I get here? Did I, which route did I take? And you get to your destination because it's just automatic. And that's not necessarily bad when you're doing it, as long as you're attentive to the road while you're doing that. But the point I'm making is that we have this tendency, Kana, Hare Krishna.
Hello.
We have this tendency to just turn off our mind while we're doing things, while we're chanting japa, whatever we're doing. And that, in Krishna consciousness, is called the niyam agraha. Heard of that before? Niyam agraha means to do things without any spiritual intention, even spiritual activities. Or, actually, in more plain language, it means an attentive chanting, or an attentive devotional service, which pulls you away from Krishna rather than connects you with Krishna. So the point is that we should be very much connected while we're doing our spiritual activities. Otherwise, we're wasting our human form of life. Because actually the Bhagavatam says that if you do your spiritual activities and you don't develop a taste for hearing and chanting, which is caused by inattentive chanting, inattentive devotional service, then you're wasting your time. The statement is, no pariyadhyadi ratim shamei vikevalam. Dharma swanishtita pumsam vishvaksena gata suyat. No pariyadhyadi ratim shamei vikevalam. That even if one does all of his spiritual activities but doesn't develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, it's a waste of time. Wow. So, in other words, while dealing with children, so let's get back to the children thing right now. The parents should not be just forcing the kids to do spiritual activities without the kids voluntarily doing it and understanding why they're doing it. For example, many times I see, you know, the parents take this poor little kid and shove him down to offer obeisance. Obeisance! Boom!
Don't break your chair, Gunadev.
What?
Don't break your chair.
I won't. But we shouldn't break you either. So they just push the poor little kid. The kid is crying. I mean, Fiji happens all the time. The kid is crying. And the parents are like, offer obeisance. So, first of all, there's no benefit in it. And secondly, the kid will be so traumatized that later on in life that obeisances will be like PTSD, you know, for if he hears the word obeisance, he's going to start to shake. I have one disciple, second generation devotee, or third generation actually, was brought up by his mother, forced to wake up every morning and do deity worship at 3 o'clock in the morning when he was like 7 years old. And now he can't wake up early in the morning. It's impossible because it's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So to have children or anyone do devotional service has to be executed voluntarily. And in order to do that, then it has to be explained beforehand. And that's a lot harder than pushing someone's head down on the ground and smashing it. Giving the poor kid concussions, worse than soccer. So, isn't it? I mean, you explain. You take the time. And if the kid doesn't want to do it, it's all right. It's all right. And you bring the children to Krishna consciousness by attracting them positively. Not only explaining, but showing how Krishna consciousness is fun. Prabhupada gave that instruction here in this verse, he's talking about brahmacharis, and that means children brought up in the early ages in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said you should make things fun. Prabhupada said you should make austerity fun. Even cold showers. But anyway, I was just in Fiji, and basically the water system broke down, and devotees had to take bucket showers in the ashram. And everyone was, oh, how can we take bucket showers? For me, it was fun, because I was brought up in the early days in Krishna consciousness, experiencing austerity is fun, because we'd live with all the guys, and we take bucket showers, and it was just like a summer camp. So Krishna consciousness, that's my initial, let's say, experience in Krishna consciousness, things were not forced on us, but it was just a fun time. We'd go out and traveling Sankirtan, traveling, having fun, approaching people, bringing people to Krishna. I had so much fun in the early days of Krishna consciousness, and I'm still having fun now. So Krishna consciousness should be fun. You understand? And that way people are connected to what they're doing. And if the children are forced, like we see with many of the children who went to the so-called Gurukul in the early days of ISKCON, they don't want to be Krishna conscious. I mean, very few of them. I mean, there's some really good ones, like Sri Prahlad, but there's many of them that just, like, don't want it because it wasn't made fun. They didn't understand why they were doing what they were doing. It was presented just like as a system of just rules and regulations. And so we have to deal with the children, as Prahlad Maharaj will be dealing with his friends, and we have to deal with adults in a way to encourage them in Krishna consciousness. In other words, everyone should know why they're doing it, and they should buy into it. You know what buying into it means?
No.
No? Okay, you learn. Your father will tell you what buying is, buying and selling. Mm-hmm. Buying into it is an expression that means they should be happy about it. When you buy something, let's say you buy something, you go buy an iPhone or something, right? So, let's say if you had enough money, Keshav, you'd be enthusiastic to buy an iPhone, right?
iPhone.
Yeah, see? So he would be ready to buy into it, even though it's so expensive. In America, it's $1,000. $1,000 here is how much is it?
$1,800.
So imagine so much money wasted on a stupid phone. But anyway, that's another issue. See?
The iPhone itch.
So when you're enthusiastic about something, you're willing to do something that it's really would be an austerity for me to ask me to spend $1,800 on a phone. Whew, forget it. But because you see, he's in ecstasy. His eyes are open wide. Because he's attracted to it. So that's how we should make Krishna consciousness. Like when I mentioned chanting Hare Krishna, Keshav's eyes should go, wow. Instead he goes, he said, oh, that's the same philosophy again. Waking up early. So to keep people connected, they have to be connected with the why, you know, what it does for them. Or as they say, and when you give me a professional lecture, a whiffim. You know what a whiffim is? What's in it for me? When they teach you to do presentations, you always have to do a whiffim first. What's in it for me? Wow, you attend the seminar, and you learn how to make millions of dollars just sitting at home or sleeping in your bed. Yeah. That's how they advertise things. So we have to present Krishna consciousness in a truthful way. What's in it for you? You become happy. You can enjoy life. You go back to Godhead. And in this way, and you can develop love of Krishna, which will give you the highest happiness. And in this way, people will be enthusiastic about devotional service and connected with devotional service. And that's how to bring kids into Krishna consciousness and keep it fun, just like I've done with the children. You make it fun. Isn't it hard to you? Am I fun or not? Or no?
You're fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
So the children generally like, people ask, you know, why are you able to bring children into Krishna consciousness? And we have, like, for example, there's one girl, she's older than all of you, and she lives in New Zealand right now, Gurunga Priya. You know Gurunga Priya? And when she was very young, I would go to her house, and you know, she'd be scared of me. I don't remember that in the old days. She would run away, and I'd tease her and everything like that. And now, she's like 16, 17 or 18 years old. And now she's just like, when I go to New Zealand, she follows us around with all the programs we do. She wants to take initiation. She writes me letters all the time. Because I made Krishna consciousness fun for her. I mean, we didn't do any Maya thing. It's not that we took all the devotees to the bar or something like that. But, you know, fun. But, I mean, you can even, like, if you take kids to an amusement park, you explain things at the amusement park to them, too. It's not that you just go to the amusement park and completely admire it. At least 50% admire it. But, but you explain things. As you're doing fun things, you can explain things in a very compassionate, kind way to the children. So they'll connect that fun activity with Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada told the devotees when they, in the Gurukul, when they have these games, you know, soccer or something, and Prabhupada said every time that they kick the ball, they should say, Krishna. And then it's fun, you know. Or we used to play volleyball with the devotees when we were helping to construct the temple in Suva. You remember that? And it was fun. You know, Hare Krishna, I'll get you, you demon. So that's really how to connect people to Krishna consciousness. Not just preach to them that, you know, you're in Maya, you're not the body. You know, I remember in the early days of the Gurukul, they would preach to the kids who were crying for their mothers, you're not the body, your mother's not the body, and she's not your mother. It's cruel, isn't it? Poor little five-year-old kids, mommy, mommy, that's Maya. You can't do that. Saved by the kids. So anyway, that's the real point. That we are responsible, at least adults are responsible, to making sure the children are attracted to Krishna consciousness. Not just force them to do Krishna consciousness. And in this way they'll be utilizing their human form of life in the proper way. So any questions or comments before the natives get restless? Yeah.
Excuse me, Gurudev. We said that should love Krishna unconditionally.
Yeah.
Is it one-sided, or does, like, how to make kids understand that Krishna also loves us unconditionally when there's so many, like, so-called, like, rituals that we
follow? Let me unpack your statement. We should love Krishna unconditionally. And that's, if you think like that, it may be a disconnect.
Mm.
I would, should, as soon as you use the word should or must or have to, then you really feel like you're being forced to do something. And you're, as we say in my course, your need for autonomy is not being met. You know, you should love Krishna unconditionally. And then I would say, you know, why should we love Krishna unconditionally? I mean, what's the reason for loving Krishna? Well, then I would first start talking about Krishna loves us. He's providing everything for us. You know, nitya, nitya, nam, chaitanya, chaitanya, nam, eko, bhav, nam, yovanadati, kama. Krishna's providing for us. He wants us to enjoy. We can get out of the material world if you're interested in liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna will give you everything you need. And, you know, that's why we should love Krishna. And Krishna fulfills our loving propensity. So, anyway, what was the second part of your question?
Like in Krishna consciousness, there's still so many rituals we go through. So it seems like that Krishna doesn't love us unconditionally. Because there's still conditions, like you have to do all this, like, you know, there's so many things. Like,
so if you think if you have to do all these things, then that's a disconnect too.
Mm.
So you think in terms of the rituals, Krishna's giving me the opportunity to do these things. He's giving me a blessing to be able to do these things and connect with him.
Mm.
So, I mean, for example, like, you can phrase, let's say you're in a temple or something, and you're going to Mangalarti. You could phrase it instead of thinking, I have to go to Mangalarti. You could say, I get to go to Mangalarti. I'm so fortunate. I get to connect to Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. I get to exchange loving. You know, you have to understand the reason for going to Mangalarti. And, you know, some temples, when people didn't go to Mangalarti or they were late for Mangalarti, they would have them write the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 1,000 times as a punishment. And that would make people not want to go to Mangalarti.
Mm.
You know, you have a negative connected with something that should be positive.
Mm.
So, as far as the ritual, also, don't do more rituals. Don't do a ritual unless you know what you're doing or you want to do it.
Mm.
And I'm not saying don't chant your rounds. What I'm saying is that if you're feeling I'm being forced to chant my rounds, change your mindset. Just think, you know, I have the opportunity to chant my rounds. I'm connecting to Krishna in this particular way. Krishna's there in his holy names. I mean, there's a different way to phrase things in your mind. But as soon as you got this have to, must, should, it's a disconnect. So you got to change the mindset of the rituals. Don't give up the rituals. Change the mindset.
Mm.
I mean, in Indian culture, many times you're doing rituals out of fear. That if I don't do this particular ritual, if I don't worship the demigods, for example, then, everything will be unfortunate, you know, someone will die. And sometimes you get the parents of the devotees preaching to the devotees like that because you gave up worship of the demigods, this happened in your life, you know, you got sick, you broke your leg because you didn't worship Ganesh or something like that, and Ganesh Chaturdasi. So we shouldn't do things out of fear. We shouldn't do things just because we're supposed to. And we shouldn't do things, for a material reward, but sometimes it's necessary to sort of enthuse you in the beginning of Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says in the Gita, people become Krishna conscious because they want wealth, because they're inquisitive, because they're in distress, and because they want knowledge. So sometimes there is some material impetus, like Dhruva Maharaj. But at least the impetus should be positive. It should be something positive. And there shouldn't be any have to. If you find yourself thinking of have to, must, should, you got problems there in your spiritual life. You should be thinking, I choose to because blank, 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 whatever your choosing reason is. And so, so the rituals, it's just a rephrasing in the mind. catch your mind.
Logic, because sometimes in Krishna consciousness we see the way a preached is that it's a requirement, but when it is preached that it's an opportunity,
yeah.
A different phrase of mind, and then the willingness is there. So there's an opportunity and it's your willingness to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness will become negative, become a negative to us like it is to many children. Because it's just, you have to do it. It's just, you know, I've seen many people, let's say this initiation thing, where sometimes the temples, they impose different requirements more than the basic minimum. And then the person, they actually become inimical to the temple authorities after they get permission to take initiation. And the temple authorities are wondering, well, why did they stop serving in the temple after taking initiation? Because they were forced to give a certain amount of money. They were forced to do a certain amount of hours of service before taking initiation. And they don't want to, they're not going to do it. Whereas on the other hand, I mean, I'll give you an example of one lady in our temple in North Carolina. She basically very rarely came to the temple, but she was chanting 16 rounds, following 4 regulated principles, and her guru, it wasn't me, contacted me and said, you know, what does she have to do for initiation? And I just said, well, she's following the basic requirements, and I trust you, and I trust her, you know, I give the recommendation. And when the lady heard that she had this trust extended to her, then she started coming to the temple doing so much service. Because she felt that she was trusted, she felt that she was loved. And you know, that's how to get people that's how to encourage people to do service. If people feel they're accepted, loved, trusted. When you have a low trust culture. I mean, for example, right now in ISKCON, if you want to take sannyas, it's really a low trust thing, wherever you go, you spend one night, you've got to get a report from that place sent to the sannyas committee every 6 months. I mean, there's so much paperwork. I mean, I have some candidates now, people wanting to take sannyas. And it's an incredible amount of bureaucracy. And in many cases, they don't even trust an email from the person. They want to see a handwritten note with a signature. I mean, if it comes down to that, and then you speak to the sannyasis who've taken sannyas recently, and they said, yes, it's like you're being tortured.
I get a job there.
Yeah. We need an HR person. We need an HR person on the sannyas committee. So you've got to understand how people are psychologically affected by these things, by being treated like that. And My understanding, my experience is when you extend trust to people, and you know, even children, you see their inherent Krishna consciousness, instead of trying to beat Krishna consciousness into them, it comes out. When you extend trust to people, they act trustworthy. I mean, once in a while someone won't act trustworthy, but 95% they will. But if you don't extend trust to people, then I think 50% of people won't act trustworthy, but they just will be so sneaky at it that you'll never catch them at it. So, I mean, we should have a high trust culture. You know, love and trust. And someone says they're chanting 16 rounds, you know, I believe you. Uh-oh. So anyway, so these are important points in bringing up children in Krishna consciousness and bringing people of any age into Krishna consciousness. You know, there has to be Prabhupada said a voluntary spirit. Prabhupada used the word voluntary. I choose. I volunteer to chant. I mean, why do I chant my rounds every day? I don't chant my rounds because I have to. I chant my rounds because I want to please Prabhupada. I want to connect to Krishna. I want to be Krishna conscious. And I like to do it. I like to do it. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
No.
No? Kana, any questions? Is the last morning class here. After that, you'll be free from the... just one day this time. No questions? Comments? Arguments? So today, we have a program, a party, or no?
Yeah.
Actually, It's interesting with the Vyas Puja. Yesterday was my technical day of when I plopped into the world, according to the moon calendar. And but technically, when you have a Vyas Puja and a Kadasi, the celebration is usually the next day, because you're not supposed to celebrate on a Kadasi, you're supposed to suffer. No, you're supposed to. I'm just joking. You're supposed to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and there's not supposed to be big feast, although people do it. But usually the feast would be the next day. So I'm sure they'll have plenty of feast items tonight. So. Yeah.
For the benefit of the kids, would you please explain why we celebrate Vyasa Puja?
It's a birthday party. Everyone likes birthday parties.
There you go.
No. Anyway. It's not just a birthday party that, you know, somehow you become a guru and then you could enjoy in a better way than you ever did as a kid. Like I had 1,000 people in Suva for my Vyas Puja ceremony. Maybe you saw some of the stuff. It was intense. But it wasn't like, whoopee, it's my birthday and everyone's singing my song. But the reason we celebrate Vyas Puja is, of course, the spiritual master, the representative of Srila Vyasadeva. But we're showing our gratitude. It helps connect us by showing gratitude to someone who has helped us in spiritual life. It's like a reciprocal thing, you know, Dadati Pratigurnati Guyamakyati Prichati Bhunkte Bhujate Chaga. It's gratitude. And the spiritual master receives that on behalf of the disciplic succession. And he becomes encouraged, hopefully, as long as the offerings are nice. But anyways, he becomes encouraged to hear how he's contributed to people's spiritual life. Just like yesterday, I was on the plane flying from Fiji to here, a nice Jetstar plane, which is like a sardine can. I don't know if you know what a sardine can is. It's like the seats are this close in front of you. You have to get a gas mask to breathe because the people, you know, recline a little. Of course, the seats don't recline in Jetstar, so it's no problem. It's like, it's worse than a third world bus company. So, I don't know why I flew them. You know, 4 hours. A 1 hour flight to Brisbane is fine, but you know, after that, no. Any other airline. I'd rather swim. So
swimming.
I'd swim to Fiji. So anyway, at least it's more exercise. Because you can definitely get DVT and then deep vein thrombosis and Jetstar. So anyway, yeah, joking aside, I was on the plane, and so what I spent my time doing is reading my Vyas Puja book. Not because you like to read about yourself. Yeah, all is about me. It's all about me. Look at all the pictures. Here's me doing this. Here's me surfing, you know. So, now the reason we like it, because it encourages us to hear how we contributed to other spiritual lives. And it helps me become more serious in Krishna consciousness. To see how these devotees, they're actually depending on my preaching, on my example. And, you know, it's actually a very encouraging, enthusiastic experience to read the Vyas Puja book. And I read the whole thing yesterday. Some people asked, do you read it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do read it. And, it was very encouraging. And then even there was a 9-year-old boy who wrote like a 5-page offering with pictures on it. You know, little pictures of children. I'll have to show it to you later. It's really cute. And he's in Sacramento, the Fiji capital of America. So anyway, capital of Fiji, America. So anyway, it's just very encouraging. You know, here's a little boy, 9 years old, saying, you know, I really like it when you come. We went swimming with you. When I went there, there's this river called the American River. Anyway, you don't know where that is. But that's in Sacramento. And devotees were saying, it's so hot, we don't know what we're going to do. And I said, let's all go to the river. And they said, well, you can't go swimming in the river. I said, yes, you can. So I took them all the river, and then we had a water fight with the kids. And they really appreciated that. And that brought them closer to Krishna. That's the same principle that I was just talking about. So in the Vyasapuja book, he was writing about this. He said, we have so much fun. I wish you would come back. You know, this, and that. And so, so that's the purpose of the Vyasapuja. It encourages the spiritual master, and it encourages the disciple. And it's not just a ritual, not just like you get to have a big birthday party and throw flowers at the guy. It's just, it's, you know, it's fun. And I try to keep it fun. And then people, a lot of people, we had a lot of second generation devotees, actually third or fourth generation at this point, get up and give their offerings. And it was very nice. There's this one girl, Karuna, I don't know if you know her, she's Velasani's daughter. Mm. Yeah, she's initiated now. And she's becoming a lawyer. Mm. And she gave a nice offering. And then Sajimata's daughter, Gurungi, you know, Sajimata's daughter, got up and she spoke so eloquently. It's just like, you know, just inspires me to see the kids coming up and saying something nice about Krishna consciousness. So even, you know, it inspires me more to see the kids than the old people. Because the old people come up and they do their offering, you know. The purpose of the spiritual master. And he comes down in the super session. Isn't it? It's a good imitation. You know, it's just like, you know, they're giving me a class on what the spiritual master is. But when the kids are speaking, they're speaking from the heart, you know. And then when the adults, not all the adults, I mean, we've got some nice adults. But when the adults are speaking, you know, they just want to make it real philosophical, impress me how much they know the philosophy or whatever, impress everybody. But the, you know, the kids, it's just, anyway, so it's very enthusing for me to be at the Vyasapuja ceremony. And it's, you know, exchange of flowers, you know, people who do the Guru Puja, they come up and they give the flowers and I give them, I throw the garlands at them. And this is, you know, it's loving reciprocation. So these are the various reasons for the Vyasapuja. And it reminds us of our purpose in life. It's another thing, when people have that, go to that ceremony, it reminds them that their purpose in life is to become Krishna conscious. And that's one of the reasons why sannyasis like me travel. To remind the people who are, you know, let's say that householders generally, they're engrossed in economic development and whatever else. And it just reminds them, hey, that's what we're here for. So that's Vyasapuja. So any other questions? Otherwise, it's time to work, time to eat. Right? We'll see everybody. What time is the program tonight? She might have gone to work. Oh, she's maybe.
We will let you know.
All right, let me know. I'll be here.
Shall we serve dinner at 5 or 5:30?
Before the program?
You, for you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, don't make me fast for my own program. So we'd like to welcome the devotees. Diana's here. Clinton. Wow. Too many nice devotees joining us. Okay.